what's coming. Between light and darkness. Will you bow down to the darkness? Or will you fight?
Public service announcement brought to you by the John Denver Committee to Prevent Air Show Violence and Deaths Now. The JDC PASVADN says that until we close the air show loophole and place common sense regulations on assault planes with high capacity fuel tanks, the death toll at air shows will continue to rise. Fuel tanks in assault planes should be limited to 10 gallons or less, except for law enforcement and military aircraft. Call your congressman today and ask him to support SB 1369, written in honor of the many victims of needless air show violence.
80 men tried and 80 men died. Now they're buried together on the countryside. 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 or more. The bloody red baron was rolling up the storm. 80 men died trying to end that spree of the bloody red baron.
And it's time for the Shooting Bench. If political incorrectness offends you, or if you don't like guns, or if you don't believe our government is corrupt enough to compare to 1938 Nazi Germany, this may not be the show for you, because for the next 2 hours, that's all we're going to talk about. You need to understand that there's a storm coming. You need to understand that the storm is building strength. And most of all, you need to understand that
we are the storm.
Thank you.
welcome to the Shooting Bench, the 2nd of September already. My gracious. I've been saying it I don't know how many years, and I say it all the time, dang near every month, and I just can't believe how fast time is moving along there. It's September already. So. Anyway, nothing we can do about it, I don't guess. So, first order of business here is the hurricane down there. I hope Tebow says he's inland a little ways. I don't know if 7 miles inland is enough, but I've been a lot more miles inland than that during a big hurricane, and it was marginal. I sat through one down in where was I at? Wood Branch, Texas. It's a little subdivision, a good-sized subdivision, north of Houston, about 30 miles, if I remember right. It's been a long time, but we saw some pretty violent weather there when this came through. So Tebow, I hope you're educated and well prepared and everything for that. So definitely got our prayers with you, and we're hoping everything works out okay for you. Nan just joined us. How you doing, Nan? And Yakima Glock's in there, and let's see who else. I saw Minnie in there a little while ago. I don't know if she's still with us or not. Let me check here. Nope, she's bounced out there. Pumpkin Cat, Tebow, got an anonymous in there. Anyway, you guys remember Edge of the Woods, Chuck, dear friend of mine, and some of you too. He's out in the path of this hurricane now. He's in, I think, South Carolina, maybe North Carolina, I don't remember. But he may wind up getting hit harder than Tebow does. But he's another one that is well prepared, taking every precaution, and is well trained in this kind of stuff. So if anybody can get through it, he can, providing his house don't disappear. I saw some pictures of the Bahamas, a little video of the Bahamas today, and I don't know if it's ever going to be rebuilt. Man, it was bad. So I hope that this thing loses strength or doesn't hit, too hard in some of the places there in Florida and the Carolinas and whatnot. But apparently we're supposed to be getting a little bit of weather from that here in the next few days also. We'll see what happens. We went up on the mountain last night with some friends big family deal. We're not blood family to them, but they invited us up there anyway. It got a little bit chilly there before the night was over. Most everybody wearing jackets and everything. So it, where was it I saw just this morning? It was, where in the heck was it? Somewhere you got, several inches of hail and snow this morning or yesterday morning. Yeah. Oh yeah. Young Arizona. Young Arizona. If you look it up, it is, it's a small town. It's not even a town. It's a village, way back in the woods. It's in northern Arizona off of, it'll be south of Highway 260, just before you go over the Mogollon Rim. And it's due south there. It's about 30, 40 miles off of the highway there, off of 260. And the last time I was over it, the last several times I was over there, it was 35 miles of it was dirt, and going the other way, it's paved the other way, going in towards Phoenix. But neat little town, beautiful country, and but it's way up in the mountains. It's up in around south of Forest Lakes, for those of you that may know where that is. And it was white there this morning, so I expect we're going to be needing to get a little more urgent here to get firewood put away, because we're probably looking for a winter, I think. All right. Like I promised you, we have a lot of stuff going on. We've got, we're going to have some new listeners coming in here pretty quick. We're looking at notifying some other places there that weren't aware of the Shooting Bench. So We're going to bring some of those listeners in here over the next few days. If I got a great story. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it because we've talked about colloidal silver so many times. Always turns into a good discussion. We always get a lot of questions and all that, but we've probably already answered most of the questions and stuff. But found a great article, a new article on Health Impact News and some new information on colloidal silver, and it does absolutely nothing but confirm everything that we've talked about for the last 15 years on the shooting bench, 14 years, whatever it's been. And it's a great story. It's not real long. Matter of fact, I think what I'll do, I'm gonna copy this address, this URL here, and drop it in the chat room, and you guys can go look at it, and I won't have to spend a lot of time with it. But it goes to, and you know, one of the things about silver that is so important, you know, we've been asked this question a million times. Well, why doesn't silver kill all the good bacteria? Well, it's because silver is an antiseptic. It's not a antimicrobial. Antimicrobial kills pretty much everything that's big enough to die, even the good stuff. But an antiseptic focuses more on pathogens, and that's one of the great things about, one of the miraculous things about silver. So it's a great story, a lot of good information, but there's virtually nothing there that I haven't told you for years. All this does is help confirm it. So I'm going to drop that in the chat room right now, and you guys can do with it what you want. Every time I go to do this, I have to come out, come back. All right, there you go. All right, if you're interested in it, well, there's a site for you. Okay, where to start? So many things. Let's just start right here. There was, we used to have a regular for a while back in, I think it was when we were still in Barbican, had a regular, what would you call it, a feature every week back then. That featured, you know, jackbooted thugs and the corruption and stuff of law enforcement officials and whatnot. And it got to be so much of this stuff going on that we didn't have it as a regular feature. Matter of fact, it's almost dominated the show sometimes with some of the things we get. But here's another one here where a woman is suing the sheriff department, or the sheriff himself, not the department, and because she was attacked, kidnapped, raped, and the 911 people, you know, everybody was aware of this. Nobody did anything. Sheriff's office told her not to get a gun; that they would take care of it. Well, they did not take care of it. And anytime anybody tells you not to get a gun, do not listen to them. If they say that, that means get two guns and lots of ammo. So this was in Custer, South Dakota, which is kind of unusual. I expect this kind of stuff in California and Michigan and in wherever, but kind of odd that this happened in South Dakota. But let's see, suing the county sheriff and deputies. This I won't spend any more time on that. That's just more of the details are unimportant. It's the corruption that is the big story there as far as I'm concerned. I will say real quick that there was two different restraining orders violated there. Restraining orders, I don't know why people even bother with them. All it does is give, after they are violated, which they many times are, it just gives a, more... more emphasis or more power, whatever you call it, to the sentence, to the punishment. No. All right. Let me go over and check chat room here. All right. Let's see.
Colorado. We talked about several things. I don't remember when it was, 2 or 3 months ago. Fastest time is going. It may have been 2 or 3 years ago. Hell, I don't know. But 2 or 3 months ago, I think we talked about the different things that are in a little bit of the time. We've talked about this for forever, since the beginning of the show. It's just that it didn't happen, but once every, you know, 6 or 8 months or a year back in the old days, and now it's happening, you know, 2 or 3, 4 or 5 times daily. And that is that people are getting triggered, as they call it, and some of them are, because of that, some of them are getting punished or getting in trouble in some manner for being normal, for doing stuff that is not, nothing wrong with. There's one right here where a Colorado kid is, this was 3 days ago, been suspended from school because of a video that shows him out shooting with his mom out at the, the video doesn't look to me like they're at a range. The title does, says that they're out of range, out at a range, not out of range. But, I guess the morning of the 30th or 29th, this woman, Justine Myers, woke up to a voicemail from the Thompson Valley High School, where her son is a junior there, or Thompson Valley School District. The school is Loveland High School in Loveland, Colorado. See, this is another one. Loveland, well, it's close enough to Denver, I guess, that it's infected. But the voicemail said that a report had come in claiming that the son was a threat to the school and was not allowed to return until further notice. And this presumably came through some kind of a program they have called Safe to Tell. I guess it's a thing where you're protected if you give up information. Now, before I go any farther with this story, this is what's going to happen with all these red flag laws. To some degree, I think that partially some people are panicking a little bit too much over the red flag laws, because we've had red flag laws in some degree or another for a long, long time. There's 17 or 18 states right now that have these red flag laws, and Trump is not pushing for, or at least Pence is not pushing for, federal red flag laws. They're just pushing for states to enact their own red flag laws, which is just as bad. Worse, possibly. Excuse me. But, you know, as I said before several times, the Lautenberg Act of whatever it was, 92 or 94 or 95, somewhere in there, is a, in itself, a form of a red flag law. And there are a great many states where you can claim that you've seen something, and depending on the state, will depend on whether or not you have to have some type of verification, a little bit of evidence for them to go on. In other states, all you got to do is say it. So what's going to happen? Every time, and as it already has happened, it happened probably 4 days ago, something like that. Some former Marine. Now, granted, he was an idiot, you know, for the things that he said online. It was kind of dumb. But nevertheless, all he did was say something about, you know, if they kill us, we're going to kill them back, you know, something like that. And so the things that you say on social media right now like that, anything similar to that. I saw another post, a guy today said something about a politician that had supported this stuff, and he said, you know, we need to take them all and just turn them into wind chimes in the backyard, obviously referring to hanging them. And I fully expect not to see this guy on Facebook anymore after a little while, or at least to have his guns taken away. You know, they probably won't arrest him, but they may detain him for a little bit and take his guns. But this is the kind of stuff that we're all going to deal with. And we're, as Claire Wolfe said one time, and I've referred to this article numerous times, but she said, you know, we're at that point in the game where it's too late to work within the system and too early to shoot the bastards. And that's where we're at right now. So, you know, things like saying that right there may wind up causing problems, but whatever. We're going to have to, I think for those of us that, and I'm not going to start a whole big discussion about whether or not open carry is practical or suitable or not, because I believe that it is, and I've been doing it for many, many years, more than a lot of you have been alive. But the fact of the matter is, in some places, maybe not too bad here in Arizona for a while, at least not this part of Arizona. But Portland, Oregon, places like that, they may see somebody open carry. And open carry is legal in Oregon, but there are some restrictions, and you know, Portland is one of them. The Tinker says if they put red flag laws into effect, you need to start flagging all those nasty liberals, you know. Yeah, that's right. Well, then that's what it's going to turn into. It's going to turn into a war, what would you call it, a cyber war or a paper war or a cold war or something, where people are getting like swatted. Yeah, I guess it is swatted. Where you say, oh, I saw this guy walking down the street and he's carrying a gun that scared me to death, and he turned towards my son, and now he's got PTSD, and we've got him checked into the mental hospital because this guy was open carrying his weapon of minimal destruction down the road, or whatever the case may be. And we're going to start seeing good people lose their guns. So my point is here that we're going to need to, I'm afraid that concealed carry is going to become a necessity. Now, a lot of people say it is already. You know, I've had this discussion with people many, 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 many times. And I always win, of course. But I may have to concede here at some point and say, you know, if I want to continue to be able to carry and protect myself, then I may have to be more discreet about it. It just may be necessary. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens. So, speaking of that, getting away from the story I was on here again, but speaking of that, there was a little cafe here we just found out yesterday has been taken over by new owners. And a friend of mine went down and found a sign on the door that said no guns. So he put on Facebook, he said, sorry, but, you know, no more White Mountain Donuts for me. So I went and looked at his post and everything, and I did some research and went and looked at the deal. And yeah, what I could have nipped all this in the bud, but I had forgotten. I was there one time a year or so ago when Jeanette Finnegan was here the first time, and I saw that sign. It was not the new owner's fault, but nevertheless, you know, it was there before. But nevertheless, the new owner allowed it to stay, probably didn't even notice it. So I got on there and said, you know, I got on their Facebook page and everything. I said, no, I'm sorry. Regretfully, your food is great. You know, we've had a good time there and everything, but we can no longer in good conscience do business there because of your not supporting our rights. And, of course, with, you know, 3,000 Facebook followers or whatever it is that I've got, it didn't take long before they were inundated. Well, this owner, the owner of the company, the owner of the restaurant, texted me on Facebook Messenger at 2:30 this morning and said, we can assure you we had nothing to do with that sign. It was there from a previous owner, and we didn't even notice it. We are very much in support of the Second Amendment. We exercise it ourselves, and we would appreciate it if you take your post down. And I said, okay, it's fine. Well, you know, you're going to take the sign down. You do all that. I will call off the dogs, and we'll we'll let bygones be bygones. As a matter of fact, I'll come by there tomorrow and have breakfast. Actually, we was going to go to dinner, but they close at 3 o'clock. So I got on there and told everyone, you know, what the story was and all that. And we had a couple of guys locally that pitched in and helped out here. Matter of fact, one of my friends even went over there and was used his own scraper to scrape the guns out of the sign there. So six of us went down there this morning for breakfast and told them why we were there. You know, that you support us and we'll support you. You know, we have the means and the people here to support you a lot, you know, or to destroy you if it comes to that. But anyway, it worked out real good, and we were real proud of everybody for conducting themselves the way they did, and it worked out well. So if you're ever in Sholo, look up the White Mountain Donuts and Cafe. It is on a street called the Deuce of Clubs. It's the main drag through Sholo. They're on the south side of the road, just west of Chase Bank a little ways. I don't know the address right offhand. You can look it up. You're listening to this show, so you probably know how to use Google. Go find it. But had a great breakfast there this morning. They've got awesome donuts. It's a great place to eat. And that's why I hated to see this happen, because it is a good place to eat. But we got it all squared away in Liberty rules. So let me get back over here to this. Where are we at here? Oh, this was about the kid that was suspended from school for a video of him and his mom shooting. So there's reports, they said that a school-wide email was sent out to parents about this quote-unquote threat. And the lady, the kid's mother, contacted the school right away, assuming she could just easily clear this up by getting on the phone and say, hey, the police have already assessed the situation, realized nothing's done wrong, has not made any threats. Well, that wasn't the case. The school not only refused to give her any more information about this, they also refused to provide the boy, Nate was his name, with schoolwork so he didn't get behind. And a threat assessment hearing has been scheduled for Thursday morning at 10 o'clock, Thursday morning, like the day after tomorrow, at 10 o'clock at the school administration building, where the mother will be allowed to come and present her case against seven school officials that will be at the meeting, and she was told to make their case. Make what case? Make a case of what? So Nate and his mother went out, and she's training him and helping him with the gun that somehow makes him a danger to the school, I guess. So anyway, we'll try to keep an eye on that. Zero tolerance, zero intelligence. That's exactly right. Okay, let's see. I think what I'm going to do while I'm tidying all this up here, I think we'll go to a quick break and we'll come back. I've got several more things I want to try to get done before quitting time. So I shall return.
I'll be back.
I hear bagpipes crying, amazing grace. Oh, my heart. deep in this Persian sand. Every day I'm giving all I can, 'cause I'm damn proud to be American. Yeah, I made some friends, and I've lost some too. When I think about what they gave for me and you, rolling down Mother's face. Oh, glory, draped like heaven's mercy over the fallen sons. I see all the heroes who are willing to fight in the name of freedom, laying down their lives. Praying God's grace to keep us safe from harm, till they bring us forth back
fan, particularly classic country. Join me, Cope Reynolds, every Friday night for Liberty Lounge right here on the Survival Circle Network.
Nothing ever happened around my hometown. I ain't kind of just hanging around. But I heard someone call my name one day, and I followed that voice down a lost highway. Everybody told me you can't get far on $37 in a Jeep guitar.
Absolutely the fastest 2 hours on internet radio. Liberty Lounge. Every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Eastern. Right here on Survival Circle.
Love to hear the steel bells humming on the asphalt. Wake up in the middle of the night and a truck stops stumbling around. Wake up in the middle of the night and a truck stops stumbling around.
Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network. All right, we're back. Let's get this wrapped up here. For those of you that are new and listening, there's Friday nights, if you like classic country music, that's the time to tune in. Same starting time, different ending time. We're on for 2 hours Friday night. We got to get some new promos made here because some of those still say 2 hours from back in the day. But anyway, if you like classic, once in a while we'll drift off into classic rock or
You know, we've done a Cajun night and a trucking night and, various other deals. As well, we do stay away from metal and opera and rap and some of that disgusting stuff. But classic rock, classic country are the primary things. So join us on Friday nights for that. All right, let's move on here. See, I had something else planned. Oh, here's another one of those things. Miss Nevada, cute little cowgirl. Ben, let me stop this thing here. And there we go. Thank you. Miss Nevada, banned from Miss America contest over her support for Trump. I'm speechless. I mean, it blows me away that we have come to this. She was the former Miss Nevada. Not only was she banned from, well, I guess this is what banned her is her Miss Nevada title was stripped from her. She had to give up her belt and everything else unless she got on online here and recanted, you know, some of the things that she said. And she said, hell no, I ain't going to do that. And so she gave up her, and God bless her. You know, you get a pretty young girl or a handsome young man, you know, with youth out there that's trying to do the right thing and get out there and show their talent and stuff. And you got these anal orifices out here that because of their support for a political candidate or elected official of some kind, whoever it may be, usually Trump, or a Trump supporter of some kind or whatever, then they attack them in this way. And I can tell you not one person, not one time did I ever hear of anybody, any kid or anybody losing a title or anything like that because they supported Obama. Not once. And if anybody know, I would, because I sit around and look at this stuff all the time, find stuff for the show and all that, and I'm connected at the hip to the damn news outlets and stuff, trying to keep up with some of this stuff. And never one time heard anything about that. So, hang on a sec. All right, you can quit hanging on. I'm back. So there was another one here. Here's another one. Pennsylvania court has ruled that making a gun-like gesture with your hand is a crime. Now this is partially red flag. This is partially ignorance, partially stupidity, and mostly just sheer ignorance. I don't know. We've heard of stories since forever, you know, since the late 90s or maybe early 2000s, I don't remember when it was. You know, we talked about the kid that pointed a chicken finger at his vice principal or something and said pow pow or whatever. And he got kicked out of school. I had another one pointed his finger. You know what? That's what boys do. We've been boys and girls both. That's what we always did our whole life. You know, for years and years and years and years, we played cowboys and Indians and cops and robbers and. And, of course, we haven't played cowboys and Muslims yet, but we're getting to that. Oh, Doc, that's a tough life there. I'm glad you made it through all right. But there's been, I don't know how many stories of kids and adults that have pointed their fingers or, you know, what was the one? One got in trouble for the chicken finger, another one for chewing a Pop-Tart into the shape of a gun. You can't chew a Pop-Tart into the shape of a gun first. Let me just put that out there right now. You can chew a Pop-Tart into the shape of an L, where it's kind of a longer, skinnier part on one end and a little bit thicker on the other end. That's what you can do with a Pop-Tart. You don't chew it in the shape of a gun. There just ain't enough Pop-Tart there to do that, and your mouth's too big. It doesn't work. But some brain-dead moron out there looked at that and said, oh, well, I am so threatened, I can't believe that you pointed a loaded Pop-Tart at me. We're going to call your parents and get you out of here right now. And that chicken finger over there, is that loaded? How do you feel threatened by a chicken finger? You can't even chew it into the shape of an L. It has to be a damn skinny L. I don't know. Anyway, that's what's going on all over. This is what happened in Pennsylvania. Let's see. That is another one. That's another one. Okay, I think that's all of that kind of stuff that we have right now. So let me get back over here. Let's start with this one. Well, we can't start with this one because we're already started. Let's go on to this one. 6-year-old girl. This is one of the things that, one of many things right now that blows me away. 6-year-old girl traumatized, crying at school, not eating, wondering what in the world, her whole world's falling apart because the school is teaching that there's no such thing as girls and boys. That they're saying that you decide that at some point later, after you decide what you want to be. Now, you know, we don't have to have a nuclear disaster or the super volcano or a big earthquake drop everything in the ocean. We're going to very handily destroy ourselves. We're going to get to a point between the queers and the transgenders turning perfectly productive boys and girls into something that they're not. They're going to reduce the reproduction rate so drastically that at some point in the future, we're not ever going to be able to recover from it. Add that on to the violence and everything else that's going on, and things just don't look real cheery for humanity right now, in my not so humble opinion. So a little bit of good news here from a little store in Washington where a man went in to rob the store and come out and somebody stole his getaway truck. 42-year-old William Kelly took some items from a business about 6 o'clock in the morning on Sunday. This was Sunday last Sunday. Yesterday? No, it must have been Sunday before that. Sunday before last. Kennewick Police Department. Let's see. During that time, police say that a man on a bike rode past Kelly's red 1992 Chevrolet pickup, noticed the keys on the seat. You know, if I was going to have a getaway truck, I think I'd have had the keys in the ignition. Or maybe I'd have the keys with me. No, I'd have the keys in the ignition, and I'd have a battery-operated door unlocker, and I'd run out there and unlock the door with my brand-new battery door unlocker and start the truck and take off. Anyway, the guy on the bicycle picked up his 10-speed bike, threw it in the back of the truck, and off he went. Leaving what's-his-name stand outside, realized his truck was gone, called the police. You know, I was in here robbing this store, and some rude individual stole my getaway truck. And when they saw the surveillance video, then they found out that Kelly was the guy's name was at the location because he was stealing things, shoplifting. So they arrested Kelly right there on an outstanding warrant and added the burglary charge and said, you know what, if we find your truck, we'll come to your jail cell and let you know. It'll be at the impound yard if we find it. Oh. How stupid was that? You know, this is pretty neat. We've had God works in mysterious ways. There's no question about it. You know, we've heard for years that the Great Barrier Reef is is deteriorating, you know, from the surf and stuff, I guess. So here is help coming from the most unlikely place here. Apparently they've determined that this underwater volcano had erupted and spit out a whole bunch of pumice, which cooled immediately coming through the water, and, you know, pure, honest-to-goodness pumice will float. So now there is 58 square miles of this, an island about the size of Washington, D.C., floating towards the Great Barrier Reef. Some of the particles, or the stones, the rocks, whatever you want to call them in there, as big as basketballs, and some as little as marbles. But they've got this this big thing, and it's headed toward, and they said a lot of that is going to become lodged in the Great Barrier Reef and help to rebuild it and put it back what its original, you know, value to for wildlife and everything there. So I thought that was kind of a neat story. It's something I don't do that kind of stuff very often. This is the kind of stuff I do very often. Hold on, my phone keeps going crazy here. Let me check and see what things are going on. All right. Oh, man. You guys may remember, what was his name? I can't give you his real name. He was, remember the video we talked about? I guess I can give you his real name. His name is Jeff Black. I can give you his real name because the video that he put out was, called Please Remove Your Shoes. I highly recommend this video. If you are interested in the corruption and everything of TSA and all that, Jeff was an air marshal and a highly trained individual, a great friend of mine. And that movie, that I think it's available on YouTube, but I know the movie itself is available through Amazon. I'm positive it is. And I highly recommend it. But anyway, he just sent me a text here with looks like he's having breakfast here, man. I need to be where he's at right now. Wow. Yeah, he's living it up. That looks about as good as the breakfast I had at White Mountain Donuts this morning. My goodness. Okay, let's Please Remove Your Shoes. That's the name of that video. Go watch it. This is the kind of stuff we talk about here. We've talked about this exact thing I don't know how many times. Californians, stop right there. Why did this happen in California? California instructor accidentally shoots man in leg during gun safety course. This is what you don't do. Boom! See? Hurts, doesn't it? You don't want to do that. That's what you came, that's what you're paying me for, is to learn what not to do, and that's what you don't do. So I guess he showed them. Of course, had the one little girl got back an instructor one time, killed him with an Uzi here in California here a while back, or here in Arizona a while back. This guy had the student was also from California, obviously. I don't know why anybody not in California would go to California for a training class, but anyway, he was going there trying to get his concealed weapons permit. And they were at Ben Clark Training Center in Riverside, if any of you know where that is, about 50 miles outside of Los Angeles. And the there's kind of sketchy details, but what it says is according to the press release, staffers at the gun range inspect students' firearms in the midst of the course here. So during that portion of the class, a civilian instructor who has not been identified administered a trigger pull test and shot the student in the leg. Let me see if your gun's loaded there, Spud. Hand me that gun. Let me just pull the trigger right here. You just sit right there. You're all right. Boom.
Oh, damn. Yes, it was loaded. I told you to unload it before you bring it to class. It wouldn't have happened if you'd unloaded it before you came. Not my fault. It just went off. Paramedics got there, and the guy was transported to the hospital, treatment for non-life-threatening injuries. The county spokesman confirmed to the news outlet the man shot was a county employee, taking class as a private citizen and not at the gun range in a work capacity. Does it say anything about the instructor here? We are adamant that we should not just meet the need of our agencies who attend our class, but to exceed all expectations. Well, you did, because I sure as hell didn't expect to be shot. That exceeded the hell out of my expectations. I can promise you that. We are arming public service entities with the knowledge that they need to excel with their... Now they know what it feels like to be shot. This is the most realistic class in California right now. You can go and get shot in the leg, so you'll know what not to do next time. So there you have it. That's what we do. All right. You know, I'm going to save that one for a jackbooted thug night. And here's a brief story here about a mom that says two people pretending to be CPS agents tried to take their four-year-old son away. Dad's not mentioned here anywhere. So anyway, she got wise to it and they hustled on out of there they were adamant about taking the kid and said they had authority and all that, and she was still confused and didn't know why and didn't know what brought all this, and she thought they just had the wrong house. Well, obviously, you know what's going on here is this child trafficking thing that's become so rampant and so popular here. And, well, luckily, she listened to that still small voice in the back of her head and back of her mind there and said the right thing, and they disappeared. Okay, one last thing here. I've promised some people, and I don't know how many of them showed up because I just sent that post real close to starting time here. Let's see. Let me see what all is going on in the chat room before I get to... Dan, have I ever tried to chew a Pop-Tart into... I don't need to try to do that. I know it can't be done. You'd have to, you might be able to take an X-Acto knife and cut one in, but you ain't going to chew a Pop-Tart in the shape of a gun. Like I said, you can make it in the shape of an L, and that's about the best you're going to do. I know you were late. We talked about that at the beginning of the show about the Bahamas. Man, I saw that video, and my goodness, that they ain't going to be no Bahamas when this is over with. From the looks of that video, the entire area was underwater, and it looked like it was very much a whole bunch of it was destroyed there. It was awful. Definitely feel for those people. Let's see. Yeah, Tebow said it's been over the Bahamas for 24 hours now, so, and that's a long time for a storm of that magnitude to stay in one place. Yeah. Doc, that does remind me of Tex Grebner, except he did it to himself. But for those of you that don't know Tex Grebner, that's all you got to put in the YouTube in the search thing is Tex Grebner, Grebner, Tex Grebner. And one of your options that will come up will be Tex Grebner shoots himself. Yes, he did, with a .45. And he said naughty words when he did that. And when he got that all squared away, he said, my training took over, and I called my mom. This guy's like 30 years old. Hilarious video. Got to give him credit for getting on public, you know, venue like that and telling everybody that he shot himself with a .45. Okay. Yeah, Doc, that's a fact. Lightweight, full auto weapons get away from you very quickly. I don't care how strong you are, if you're not familiar with it and you're not prepared for what is going to happen, you should always do this single shot several times. If you have the capability, three shot burst. If you don't have the capability, then only put three or four shots in the magazine and do that till you get the feel of it a few times. And then maybe go up to, you know, 6, 8, 10 rounds a couple of times before you are turned loose with it. That poor little girl that killed that instructor, she shot, you know, a couple of single shots and he just turned her loose and killed him. It was a terrible story. 3 or 4 or 5 years before that, an 8-year-old boy in, I believe it was in Pennsylvania, was turned loose with an Uzi and it got away from him and he killed himself. It twisted around in 180, got away from him, didn't get his finger out of the trigger and trigger guard and killed himself. Had another instructor that reached into a range employee. I don't know that he was an instructor, but he reached into a box and pulled the Uzi out for the morning. You know, the morning's shooting had been put away for the night. Apparently wasn't unloaded when they didn't know. Apparently, hell, it wasn't unloaded before they put it away. He reached in and grabbed it and pulled grabbed it by the barrel and pulled it towards him. The trigger got hung up on something. And he killed himself. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on. So, there you go. All right, let's, I'll save this one for Wednesday. We've got a little bit of firearm stuff here that we missed tonight. So, hopefully if anybody was planning on listening to firearm stuff, I don't want to disappoint you. Just be sure and come back Wednesday night at the same time, 8 o'clock Mountain Standard Time. That is not Mountain Daylight Time. It is Mountain Standard Time. Because we're on Mountain Standard Time year-round. We don't change time like the rest of the world does. Or the rest of the country, anyway. So, right now, I believe we are the same as Pacific Time. Later this month, I think it is, or early next month. We will stay the same, but we will then be the same as Mountain Time. Mountain will be on, everybody will be on Mountain Standard Time. Anyway, I ain't even figured it out. Now I'm getting confusing myself here. All right. Well, I'm going to scoot on out of here. I've had all the fun I can stand, and we will see you guys Wednesday night. Got a lot of gun-related things to hash out with you on Wednesday. Friday, we'll be back for Liberty Lounge. I'll see you then. Good night.
Well, that wraps up another edition of the Shooting Bench. Join me Monday and Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, and again on Fridays from 7 to 10 for the Shooting Bench. Good night, and thanks for joining me.
Don't listen to those times. That's one of the things that we need to change there. I was right with the times. I was not right with the times on the recording. So, there you go.